You're listening to the Healthcare Goes Digital podcast. Get ready to be inspired as we explore provocative topics surrounding innovative technologies and ideas with top industry professionals, digital entrepreneurs, and provocateurs. At Impetus Digital, we believe that everything starts with a conversation. We aspire to act as the bridge to not only ignite these courageous conversations, but to also sustain them over time. We do this through our Insight platform, which features our award-winning Insight events and Insight Touchpoint solutions, and through these fireside chats. In the end, our hope is to collectively and positively disrupt healthcare. Let's get started with your host, Natalie Eden, CEO and co-founder of Impetus Digital, an all-in-one, fully serviced virtual collaboration and communication solution for online meetings, events, conferences, and advisory boards for life science companies.
Hi, everyone. My name is Natalie Eden. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Impetus Digital. At Impetus Digital, we have built some of the best-in-class asynchronous and synchronous virtual collaboration and communication tools that we use with life science companies from across the globe. Over the past 14 years, we've helped clients with everything from virtual advisory boards to online medical education ambassador programs at conferences. All these really technical things are difficult to do, especially during COVID. But even now, as many key opinion leaders and digital opinion leaders are looking for better and more convenient ways to be able to collaborate with their colleagues, but also with pharmaceutical companies to help build ideas, educate other physicians or other allied healthcare providers, as well as to help pharma companies move the needle along on their strategies and tactics with their brands. So we work with physicians, payers, allied healthcare providers, and all kinds of other healthcare stakeholders in this space. And we've been doing this for 14 years. But more importantly, at Impetus, we really believe that everything starts with a conversation. And from these big, hairy, audacious conversations with some of the leading edge thinkers, some of the digital provocateurs, and some of these healthcare thought leaders, is we can all work together to collectively and positively disrupt healthcare. So I'm very excited to having one of these healthcare thought leaders at the table with me today. This is actually Robert Call. He has over 17 years of experience as an entrepreneur. And now with his company CloudDX, this is actually his sixth startup. You know, imagine that. Amazing. And his current company is actually based in Kitchener, Ontario, as well as in Brooklyn, New York. And he offers really state-of-the-art digital healthcare solutions. And he provides this to everything from clinics, hospitals, also to health insurance companies, both in Canada as well as in the US. So welcome, Robert. So happy to have you on the show.
Thank you, Natalie. Great to be here.
Awesome. So really exciting. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of people that really are excited about the idea of being an entrepreneur, getting something started. You know, just in terms of an inspiration for people, maybe you can share a little bit about your career trajectory and how you ended up starting your sixth startup.
Well, absolutely. You know, I've been, as you noted, an entrepreneur for many years. When I studied science in college, but when I left college, rather than going into medicine or academia, I wound up in business. I wound up in sales, as a matter of fact. And I spent a lot of time in sales, learning how to create value for clients, and then really bring that value to a conclusion, which would be a sale and a contract and moving forward and then delivering that value. So that was an education all in itself. And I highly recommend any budding entrepreneurs, anybody imagining a career as an entrepreneur or a founder, think about sales very early in your career, very early in your startup journey, because the reality is that it doesn't matter how good your idea is, and it doesn't matter how good your technology is, and it really doesn't matter how good your execution is if nobody sells it and nobody buys it. And many entrepreneurs in the technology world, they actually don't necessarily pay attention to sales until quite late in the game. You know, you may have developed your product, you may have a minimum viable product, you may think you've got it all lined up, and then suddenly it's like, oh, wait a sec, someone has to sell this. And if you haven't thought really hard about that from the very beginning, then you find yourself sometimes in a position where you literally run out of investment dollars and you run out of time, and your idea never gets to fruition because you miss that critical piece. So that was an education all in itself. And then, you know, as you noted, this is my sixth startup, depending on how you count them. And every startup has its own story. Every idea and every execution of an idea has a lifespan and a life cycle. And sometimes you don't succeed and you pivot and you do something different. Sometimes you do succeed, you have an exit, and your journey continues. But it's been a fun ride so far.
That is awesome. So maybe we can just kind of start from the beginning, as you brought up a lot of really interesting ideas, including the idea of getting investment. Not everybody necessarily has the ability or the means to completely bootstrap a company. So you're oftentimes looking, you're starting to initially sell the idea to people. Tell us a little bit about how you know, because again, you've got a lot of experience in creating companies. What inspired the idea of Cloud DX? And how did you rally other people, specifically investors, to get you to start the company?
Well, the Cloud DX story is a complicated story in the sense that it's more than one company story. I had a practice as a consultant bringing Canadian technologies to the United States in the early 2000s. And one of the technologies I was introduced to was actually created in Toronto, Ontario, by a Canadian company. And it was a new way to measure blood pressure. It's a new kind of medical device, very different operationally than your typical blood pressure cuff or your typical medical device. It really leveraged the power of the cloud. And in the early 2000s, people were talking about the cloud. The cloud wasn't even a thing yet, but it used servers and software in a server to analyze very, very detailed data from the field, from out in the world, in order to generate accurate medical results. And so I saw this technology. It was very new. It was very nascent. It had no commercial sales at all. It was just brand new. But something about it really struck me as fascinating and very future forward. Is that this is kind of going to be a thing. And when you see an idea or you have an idea and you just have a feeling that this is something that really kind of needs to happen, the world needs to see it, the world needs to have it, then if you can articulate that idea, then amazing things can happen. But that's really the bottom line. You need to be able to explain to everyone, yourself, most importantly, why it is you believe that this particular idea or this particular execution of an idea is something that is required, it's necessary, it's the next thing. And so fortunately, it turned out that other people agreed with me. But then I went on a long journey. I acquired the rights to that technology. I built a company around those rights in the US, but then for various reasons we don't have time to talk about today, I wound up selling that company back to the manufacturer, joining them, becoming the CEO there and leading that company for several years, and then actually acquiring the technology again, taking it private, and founding Cloud DX. So I've been working with our technology that is the core of our company for 12 years now, but Cloud DX itself is 8 years old. So this is the other piece of advice I have, which is that you never know how this is going to go. You never know the path that you're going to take as an entrepreneur. It could go in a million different directions. So one of the things that a successful entrepreneur has to have is this sort of incredible persistence, this unwillingness to give up and to continue to push forward, regardless, frankly, of what obstacles are thrown in your way. And of course, not every entrepreneur is successful, but no entrepreneur is successful without that level of persistence. So hard to teach that. It just has to sort of happen with some serendipity. But that's the foundational story of Cloud DX. And the technology that was created back then, the idea of analyzing raw data from the human body in the cloud using very complex algorithms, now moving into machine learning and artificial intelligence, was a very, very powerful idea. And so day after day, month after month, year after year, we've built on that idea. We've patented a number of different manifestations of that idea. We've taken it to market. We've proven it works. We've published peer-reviewed papers on the efficacy of that idea. And now, of course, we've signed up clients all over North America, and we're growing very quickly. So it's one of those overnight success stories 12 years later.
It always feels like the tip of the iceberg. And how did they do that so quickly, right? They're realizing all of the crazy work that went behind the scenes. So I absolutely can relate. So really interesting. So you've really expounded on what we're used to hearing a lot today, which is machine learning and smart algorithms and all kinds of things. During this 12-year period, of course, we've heard of things like fitness trackers and Fitbit, and, you know, the Apple smartwatch and so many other things happening on the periphery. What was happening with Cloud DX as you were building your armamentarium of biometric tracking? How are you doing that in parallel?
That's an excellent question. We made a very conscious decision at the beginning of the journey for Cloud DX to focus on clinical and highly accurate medical results, in contrast to the Fitbits and the Apple Watches and the Garmin trackers of the world. Those devices are fascinating. They're absolutely, they're quite popular, of course. They do a great job in many ways, but they're not considered medical devices. They're not used by the healthcare system to practice medicine. They're not used to make medical decisions. They're lifestyle devices that are used by millions and millions of people to make lifestyle decisions. But medicine requires a much higher level of scrutiny, a higher level of regulatory compliance, and a higher level of accuracy. It's a very challenging niche to grow into. You need to be in a position to meet in a tremendous number of different deliverables, ISO certifications, Health Canada licenses, FDA registrations, and 510K clearances, academic research, and so on, in order to be credible in that world. So in some ways, that's a very powerful, what we call a moat in the entrepreneurial world. It's a way to build a defensive sort of perimeter around your idea and make sure that competitors can't just come in and sort of outcompete you, because you've invested literally thousands and thousands of hours and potentially millions of dollars in building that medical credibility. And what we found was two things. We found that as powerful as the idea of the fitness trackers and the Apple Watches is, it wasn't having any impact on the medical world. Doctors were not considering these devices worthwhile because they weren't approved and they weren't validated and they weren't medically tested. So that seemed to be a big niche for us. We knew the data was powerful. We knew that there was a role to play there, but someone had to be first in proving that it worked. But also sometimes serendipity does play a part. We founded Cloud DX, and one of our co-founders is a prominent physician here in Canada, Dr. Sunny Coley. He happened to have a very strong network of physicians that he was, had gone to school with and practiced with. And they, in many cases, happened to be investors in their own right. So at the very beginning, Cloud DX had the strong backing of a portion of the medical community. We had doctors as our early investors. In fact, Cloud DX eventually raised over $20 million from over 300 individual doctors. We're the only startup that I know of that actually was individually received an investment from the Canadian Medical Association itself. In their 160 plus year history, they've only ever invested in one startup, and it was us. So with that kind of connection to the medical world, we had an entree. We were able to move forward and open doors and conduct those tests and become essentially standard of care in a number of different ways. That probably would not have happened had we been funded by the venture capital community and had we raised money in a more conventional way. So part of how you go to market as an entrepreneur is actually driven by your board of directors, and it's driven by your investors as much as it's driven by market demand and by product market fit.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Cloud DX is actually a fascinating kind of multifactorial cloud solution with a lot of different segments and pieces. Maybe I was wondering if you could describe some of them, maybe starting off with the idea around the pulse wave device.
So that was the original device I spoke of that I was first introduced to in 2009. And it's a wrist cuff. It's a device that inflates and deflates like a blood pressure cuff. But what it does is, rather than simply measuring systolic and diastolic blood pressure, which is what a typical blood pressure cuff does, the pulse wave gathers a multi-thousand data point signal from the radial artery in your wrists. It's a pulse pressure signal. So as the artery expands and contracts every time your heart beats, there's a pressure wave that goes through. It looks very similar to an ECG signal because it's directly analogous to an ECG signal. What ECG represents is the electrical activity of the nerves around the heart. And there's a very famous PQRS wave, the squiggle we all see when we show the heartbeat on the screen. Well, the muscles in your circulatory system respond to that signal with exactly that same squiggle. So we're able to pick that up with this device. Inside that signal is actually a tremendous amount of information about what's going on inside your body, because your body is a homeostatic machine. Your body's internal systems and parasympathetic nervous system work extremely hard all day long to keep your body in balance. And it does that through the nervous system and through the circulatory system. So we're able to see how your heart is functioning. We're able to see what exactly your blood pressure actually is. We're able to detect whether you have any circulatory issues or anomalies, heart conditions, and so on. We're able to measure respiration rate through that signal. We can see inside the body, in some cases, whether or not the person has ingested medication. And we can predict whether or not certain things are going to happen based on large data sets that we gather from this device. So the concept of digital signal processing and pulse wave analytics was the foundation of the original cloud diagnostics idea. And then we began to add additional signals to that as we grew as a company and as our scientific team got smarter and got better at this. So we were able to add signals from a new device we invented as part of our participation in something called the Tricorder X Prize. We invented a device that gathers ECG signals and pulse oximeter signals and accelerometer and gyroscope signals and temperature signals and layered all those signals over top of the pulse trace signal. We begin to see a very detailed picture of exactly what's happening inside the body. So that device called Vitality gathers a lot of that information continuously. That allows us to then offer continuous blood pressure as opposed to just blood pressure from one simple reading. A continuous blood pressure is something that is relatively new. Not very many devices offer continuous blood pressure. And so it's actually a very powerful tool for remote patient monitoring and for monitoring folks outside of the operating room or outside of the ICU in the hospital. And then we, again, as part of that Tricorder journey and the XPRIZE journey we went on, we also recognize that there are other signals out in the world that we can actually measure. So we, for example, have a whole software platform that analyzes the sound of a person coughing. Turns out that the sound of a person coughing is indicative in many ways of respiratory illnesses. So we validated that concept for tuberculosis so far, and we're able to detect the sound of a person coughing and identify when that person has active tuberculosis with extremely high accuracy. But the theory will work for many respiratory illnesses. So it's again, digital signal processing. It's taking in this very powerful raw data signals, analyzing them at the beginning, just with simple algorithms, and then later with branching logic algorithms, and now using more deep learning and machine learning type algorithms, always looking for those patterns and looking for those things that indicate whether a person's healthy, getting healthier, less healthy, getting less healthy, getting into trouble, having a crisis, and so on. And that's really the foundation of what Cloud DX does. We're a data analytics company. And so our own devices so we can gather better data.
Wow, it is absolutely fascinating. I absolutely love. Now, when I think about that, I'm thinking about the Peter Diamandis Tricorder X Prize. Is that the one you're talking about? Mm-hmm. So you enrolled in that and you won that prize?
We are one of three winners of the Tricorder X Prize, yes. So 330 teams from around the world originally competed in the X Prize back in 2013. And Cloud DX was chosen as a finalist for that competition in 2014. And so we actually created a working Star Trek medical tricorder that was capable of diagnosing independently 15 separate medical conditions without a doctor, without access to the internet, and then also continuously measuring all the vital signs in the body for three straight days. And so we won the Bold Epic Innovator Award from the Tricorder X Prize competition. And that also gave us access to the post prize relationships we have now with the University of California in San Diego.
Beautiful.
And collaborators.
Yeah, big fan of all those folks over there at the Singularity University.
Absolutely.
so many amazing things here. I don't even know where to start. Now I'm thinking this interview could probably be an hour long. I've got so many questions. Really, really cool. I love the complexity of what you have put together here. Amazing. So I'm curious also around thinking about as an individual. I've got this device and I'd really like to understand as well too what the device is, like where does it go, how does somebody use it. So I'm this person using this device and my biometrics are being measured actively. I'm curious about how this can be used for me, the N equals one scenario, right? Now you talk about smart algorithms, machine learning, you know, AI. Is this my data being transcribed and compared to the general population and whatever you come up with that is actually the normal part of this general population? Or is it being actively compared to my own baseline so that I get an N equals one intervention and recommendations about what I personally need to be doing?
Well, this is the beauty of data analytics, because you don't have to choose. We actually do both of those things. So our algorithms train against giant data sets that are available out in the world from pharmaceutical companies and so on and so forth. When it comes to analyzing signals like ECG, that allows us to identify maladies that have been previously identified, cardiac arrhythmias, atrial fibrillation, myocardial infarction. And so these are things that exist that, you know, data sets are available. So you can train a new algorithm against those data sets and develop evidence of specificity and sensitivity and prove that your new idea is viable and can actually be clinically valid. Then you do have to go through a long process of then further bolstering that credibility with published papers and so on. And that's something, by the way, that we should never overlook when we're talking to entrepreneurs who are interested in this space. It's not enough to be able to show your product works, and it's not enough to be Health Canada licensed, and it's not enough to be FDA cleared. Those are the very beginning parts of the process. What it really takes in order to break into the market and actually scale is literally, frankly, years of work in clinical validation, published studies by independent third parties, and then reference clients that have used your technology for quite some time in order to prove that, yes, in fact, it actually works. You can trust it. You can trust it for your patients. Not for the faint of heart. It's very challenging. So, but back to the question, you know, the end of one. I mean, this is the beauty of our technology. And when we look at our entire connected health kit, which includes more than just the devices we make, it includes devices that are more common, like thermometers and pulse oximeters and weight scales. The data that is assembled by that kit and is shown to the patient as you're using the devices and you're taking your readings and you're actually answering survey questions and so on. What's really great about that, and we hear this all the time, is that patients just get to know their own health. They get to know their own body. And once you're kind of up to speed on how you should be normally, you pick up very quickly when you're not quite exactly, you know, when you feel a little off, but you can also see that something's changed. Your blood pressure's up a little bit. Body weight has changed. Your breathing has changed. And many, many of our patients feel very empowered to know that they can actually go back to their care team and say, hey, wait a second, something's happened, something's changed. And it's not just a subjective feeling. They have evidence. They can say, look at my results on Cloud DX. My blood pressure's changed by 5%. More importantly, the software is actually set up to recognize that automatically. So clinical teams can say, look, with these patients we're monitoring, if the blood pressure changes by this percentage over this much time, we need a notification. We need to know that that's actually happening. It's these feedback loops that generate efficiencies in care that make remote patient monitoring so powerful. So this is exactly how it works. And so the concept of population health level data analytics and looking at patterns in large groups of data is certainly one direction. But at the moment, the most powerful thing we do is empower individual people to recognize their health better.
I want to know a little bit about your business model. So we obviously hear a lot of B2C, which is what these fitness trackers are doing, which is a whole other business model. Is this a B2B or B2Hospital model? Who's paying for this? How are you driving and showcasing value? And at the end of the day, what is the device that an actual end user is utilizing on a day-to-day basis?
So right now, the way that remote patient monitoring works in North America, in the medical sense, is that it is completely different than the fitness trackers and the lifestyle products that you see. It is a prescribed service, so your physician will prescribe remote patient monitoring for you for a number of different reasons. You may have a serious chronic illness. Many, many people, in fact, the majority of older people have one or more chronic illnesses that might include chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, congestive heart failure, which are the two most common chronic illnesses in the world, uncontrolled hypertension, type 2 diabetes. These conditions all respond to remote patient monitoring. So patients are prescribed our platform. It's paid for in Canada by the provincial healthcare systems. In the United States, it's paid for by the insurance system. So Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. The doctor prescribes it, patient takes it home, begins to use it, begins to build that two-way feedback loop with their physician team. The physician team can now monitor hundreds of patients simultaneously with a very small staff and very efficiently care for those folks. the payers, the folks who pay the bills in the Canadian context, the provinces, in the American context, the insurance companies, what they get out of it is efficiency. You can actually care for more people for the same amount of resources, same number of staff, same number of hours. And that means that in the Canadian context, you're getting more value and you're reducing wait times and you're reducing the burden of the healthcare system, which of course we all know is exponentially spiraling out of control right now in Canada. Mm-hmm. In the United States, that becomes profit in many ways. The United States system is a for-profit system. So providers in America are paid more money to do remote patient monitoring. And there's a strong motivation to build that into practices today because it's both better for patients and makes the doctors more money. That's a great place to be. So that's sort of the business model. We sell to hospital systems. We sell to healthcare systems in the provinces. We sell to individual clinics in the United States. And we also work with some of the most exciting partners in the ecosystem. And so I know we're going to talk about this as we come along, but CloudDX recently announced a very powerful partnership with Teladoc Health, which is the leading company in the world for telemedicine by far. We also just a few months ago announced a similar partnership with Medtronic, which is the leading medical technology company in the world. And these are giant companies that could have chosen any company to partner with of any size, but they chose CloudDX because our technology is extremely innovative. We're very nimble and we're very quick to make improvements in what we do. And we have extraordinarily good customer service and very, very high customer satisfaction evidence and scores.
Beautiful.
And those are the reasons why we're able to partner with these enormous companies.
Well, congratulations. And, you know, with all due respect, you've really done your homework and have basically crossed every T and dotted every I. So well done. Really interesting things going on here. Obviously, COVID-19 turned the world upside down. Yep. In many ways, decelerated things, and in many other ways, accelerated, you know, adoption of things like technologies and what have you. Telemedicine has existed for many, many years, basically ignored by many. And now it's sort of become a requirement. And now people are trying to revert back to what's normal. Where does CloudDX fit into that evolution? And where is it heading with still some questions about remote monitoring in general, telemedicine, and what we're kind of, you know, doing that whole thing around remote patient monitoring?
Here's a funny story about telehealth and telemedicine. And you can Google this. This is something I just read on a history blog somewhere. But right after Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone, he had a hard time getting people to actually use the telephone because you had to have both parties having a telephone. And so at the very beginning of the telephone era, not that many people had a phone. So there was no one to call. And it turned out that one of the very, very first people who actually used the telephone was a doctor. And one of the very first phone calls ever made was a telehealth call, because a mother who also happened to have a telephone called that doctor because she didn't understand why her baby wouldn't stop crying. And the doctor immediately diagnosed croup. He said, that baby has croup. I can tell just by listening to that baby cry, she has croup. One of the very first uses of the telephone was telehealth. It was telemedicine.
Wow, that's now here we are. Story.
So yes, I mean, the reality is that about 3% of healthcare encounters or healthcare consultations in 2019 took place through telehealth or telemedicine. And a large percentage of that took place on Teladoc, which was by far the largest of the companies providing telehealth at that time. And then of course, in March of 2020, everything changed. No one could go to the doctor or the hospital anymore. And so overnight, healthcare consultations became remote. And what's interesting is that, first of all, there was lots of skepticism, but it was an emergency, so you've got to do what you got to do. People were doing telehealth consults on Zoom, they were doing them on FaceTime, they were doing them on, you know, just you name it, right? And none of it was necessarily privacy compliant, but all the rules were waived and it was just the Wild West. But a funny thing happened, which is that people realized they really like it. As much as face-to-face meetings are great for business, no one gets excited about going to the doctor and no one gets excited about going to the hospital. Being able to have a healthcare consult in the comfort of your home on your device is just better. It's easier for everyone. Providers like it, patients like it. And so from a peak of 80% of healthcare consultations happening virtually as the pandemic started to wane, it's come down now to between 30 and 40%. That's still two orders of magnitude more than it was in 2019 because it works. But what doctors, of course, have realized is that a Zoom call is one thing. You can have a telemedicine consult like this and you can have a conversation, but unless you have actual data, you can't really practice medicine. So at the end of the day, many Zoom calls end with, please, you have to go to the clinic. You have to go to the urgent care. You have to go to the emergency room because I need to know what your blood pressure is. I need to know what's changed with you. And I can't tell that over Zoom. But remote patient monitoring gives doctors that power. So by prescribing remote monitoring and sending patients a kit in their home that's vetted and approved and integrated into the workflow in the clinic, then physicians can now practice medicine properly, even if the patient's not in front of them. So they got used to the idea of being able to have these consults, and that's now something that everyone is sort of comfortable with. Now the idea of remote monitoring is bringing the power of data to healthcare, and that's, again, changing everything.
Amazing. I've interviewed a lot of people with all kinds of really interesting technologies, including everything from looking at color to temperature. And you mentioned something that you've also incorporated in yours, Cloud DX, around like sound, using sound as a diagnostic tool. And you mentioned the whole idea around certain types of respiratory diseases. Now, I was curious about what happened around COVID. Was this used in that regard? And then I guess a corollary to that question is, can it be used in the future to be predictive, either at an individual level or even at a population level, for things like, you know, new infectious diseases or other things that might be more population oriented?
A lot of work was done on cough analysis during COVID. But what we all have to remember is that through all the variations of the coronavirus, from Alpha to Delta to Omicron and so on, symptoms patterns have changed. And so at the very beginning with Alpha, the sort of dry cough was a very common but not universal symptom of COVID. And we have to remember, too, lots of people who have COVID don't have any symptoms at all. So you weren't catching a very high percentage of the population who have COVID, even at the very beginning. And as the body, you know, as our immune systems have adapted, the cough has become even less common as a symptom of COVID. So cough analysis turned out to not be a powerful tool for diagnosing or for recognizing COVID. What's much more powerful is actually pulse oximetry, because one of the dangers of COVID-19 is silent hypoxia, just to drop in pulse oxygen saturation, which if untreated can literally become fatal. So what we focused on with our cough analysis technology is a disease that's as bad as COVID, as terrible as COVID every single year, which is tuberculosis. 2 billion people in the world are infected with tuberculosis. 10 million people have active TB every year. Only 7 million ever get treated, and 1.5 million people every year die of tuberculosis. That's a COVID-19 pandemic every single year. And it turns out that cough analysis is very powerful for detecting active tuberculosis. In our clinical study in Africa, we found that our specificity and sensitivity were well over 90%. And our overall accuracy in the preliminary results is 91%. That's higher than a chest x-ray for detecting active tuberculosis. So this is a use case where we can really make an enormous difference, because one of the reasons why tuberculosis is so hard to treat in the developing world, if your diagnostic tool is a chest x-ray and your patient is in a village 5 miles or 5 hours from the city, that patient will almost certainly never get that chest x-ray. And so they will never get treatment for their tuberculosis, and the disease persists. If a public health nurse with a smartphone can drive through that village and diagnose everyone in that village with tuberculosis with 91% accuracy, we have now solved tuberculosis. It'll take time, it'll take energy, but we now have a tool that can do that in a way that has never been done before. And this is the power of technology. So this is where we're coming from. And you asked, what other things do we measure and how does our technology actually work? You know, again, the data we gather, we use a mix of tools we've invented ourselves and off-the-shelf medical devices. But it all flows into a very easy-to-use app that the patient can interact with, or a clinical dashboard that the clinician interacts with. It goes to the cloud. And now, frankly, our algorithms are not only in the cloud, they're also at the edge, so we can measure things without internet access. And then we build a giant data lake of proof points that we can then continue to train our algorithms on so they get smarter all the time.
Absolutely. Wow. Fascinating. Cool. Robert, you mentioned at the beginning, you know, again, you are an actual certified and regulated approved medical device, the 510K. You've gone through all the submissions. you know, the future, of course, is in real world evidence and the future of the clinical trials that you're planning. You mentioned earlier that the value that you've actually, that you've used to support this device and why payers are covering and reimbursing this is really around the efficiency play when we take a look at, you know, value submissions. Now, I was curious in your future clinical trials, if this is really looking at changing the trajectory of disease progression, natural history, the way people, you know, either preventing as a preventative maintenance or preventative medicine, or in terms of reducing severity and other sorts of metrics that will look at the longer term value and potentially even in positive outcomes on patient health. What is the future of clinical trials with Cloud DX?
You know, when you think about the way that many things are treated, many diseases are treated, and even the way surgery patients are treated, it's almost the worst of all worlds. Chronic disease patients often by themselves, they're at home. They have a prescription for medication. They don't know for sure if it works or not. They don't really have any data on how they're doing. They don't have a plan if things go sideways. And human nature being what it is, most folks, especially if we think about older folks who are conservative, they don't want to bother people. And so they leave things till it's quite late. Your typical COPD patient will not take themselves to hospital with an exacerbation of their COPD until they literally can't get out of the chair, until they can't climb a set of stairs. And at that point, it's the damage is done. At that point, you have no choice but to admit them to hospital for 5 to 7 days. They need intensive drug therapy, and they need intensive oxygen therapy. And 20% of late-stage COPD patients who go to hospitals, they die there. They don't go home ever. Because it's human nature. What we find with technology and with remote patient monitoring especially is that we're able to give those folks this early warning that things are not correct, and that confidence that they can themselves change their health, their prescriptions and what have you with a quick video conference with a nurse and head off their exacerbations. And it makes an enormous difference. Our longest running COPD deployment is now at 6 years. We have had patients on our system for 6 years. Some of them are in their 90s, in their late 90s. And prior to going on to Cloud DX and remote monitoring, we're literally going to hospital 3 to 4 times a year with their chronic illness. And in some cases have not been since they went on remote monitoring. There's no question that their lives have been extended. There's no question that their health and their quality of life has been dramatically extended. And this, of course, is what gets us out of bed every morning. This is the difference we're making. We think about the impact on tuberculosis. Similar story. If by using this technology, we can treat the 2 to 3 million people every year who currently are not getting treated, we will save their lives, but we will also reduce the spread of tuberculosis dramatically, potentially even eradicating it in our lifetimes. Tuberculosis is 100% curable. The only reason tuberculosis still exists is because we can't find everybody who has it. Mm-hmm. So solving that problem is within our grasp now. And so these are just amazing advances. And you know, in the future, as sensors get smaller, as algorithms get smarter, as the world adapts to the concept of artificial intelligence making more decisions and becoming more part of our lives, then I think incrementally, without a big step change, without a huge sort of a huge hullabaloo, we will see lives extended, quality of life extended, and we'll see folks being able to stay in their homes much, much longer, not have to go to long-term care, not have to go to a nursing home. We will see folks being cared for by family members who might not live in the same city, but are able to care for their loved ones as if they did. That's a huge boon. So we're working very hard on, again, validating the use cases, validating the efficacy, the sensitivity, the specificity, and so on, so that physicians and public health professionals can use our tools with confidence. They can use them knowing that they're going to work. This is the challenge in the medical technology world. Medicine is extremely conservative because there's no upside to moving fast and breaking things in medicine. There's just no good things come from that. So it's a slow process, but radically accelerated by the pandemic, of course. And so it's an amazing time to be in this business.
Oh, wow. What a hopeful vision and super exciting for any of us who are listening, including myself, who have parents who are aging this is a technology that I am personally very excited about. And I just really wish everybody who is listening and would like to contact Robert, either connecting and learning more about Cloud DX. I'm sure that you have plans for expanding internationally, you know, either connecting, speaking, you know, what have you. Please look for his contact details in the show notes below. For anybody who also enjoyed this conversation, please check out impetusdigital.com. These are the kinds of things that we actually speak to people, physicians, allied healthcare providers, pharmaceutical companies who are interested in integrating some of these ideas into their clinical trials or, you know, collaborating with their products. We can actually do a series of asynchronous and synchronous touch points with all of these people to speak and deliver and develop plans. And we can actually help you do that through our collaboration platform. Thanks to everybody for your time. Please like and subscribe to our channel. We'd also appreciate if you can leave us some feedback on iTunes. Thanks to all. And also, Robert, thank you so much for a fantastic conversation today.
Thank you for listening to this Healthcare Goes Digital podcast. Impetus Digital are the business-to-business virtual engagement experts and provide immersive virtual collaboration and communication solutions for advisory boards, medical education meetings, events, conferences, and projects worldwide, all delivered with our award-winning white glove service. Visit us at impetusdigital.com or book a demo at meetwithimpetus.com to find out more. And visit us on our LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube channel to see other inspiring conversations for you to share with your network.